By the way, that's the calendar I'm following.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
You're on the same one.
Yeah, yeah.
I got it from you.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's...
Thank you.
I hope we're on the same
page. Yeah. We're on the same page of the same calendar.
So,
yes? I mean, I just didn't think ahead of time to make sure, because some last time something was in Russia and it was different here.
It's
and,
just the
conversation. Yeah, okay. Krishna. So, welcome to all the guests. I don't know where everybody's from, heard a little bit. So I assume we're like speaking in English and Russian. You're translating what I say in Russian, and that accommodates everybody. Right?
All our guests, they speak very good English.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Probably better than I do, so I'll have to be careful. Someone once said about England and America were two countries divided by a common language. And once Srila Guru Maharaj said to me in the afternoon, sometimes we go and see him in the afternoon and have lighter conversation and not like heavy ontological interrogations, just lighter. And one day he turned to me and he said, "You don't like to learn Sanskrit?" We're also getting to know each other more. And I said, "No, Maharaj, if anybody, you know, count me in the group who wants to learn Sanskrit." I said, "But my responsibilities, like at the time, I'd been the president of the ISKCON Los Angeles Temple." And I said, "You know, and even there are so many Sanskritists there, but we try to have classes and it just wouldn't pan out." And many of my friends are like, ended up becoming Sanskrit pundits of one type or another. So I said, "No, I would like to, it just hasn't, you know." And then Guru Maharaj, who spoke Sanskrit in the house when he was a child, like with his aunties, his brothers, and they spoke conversational Sanskrit. He composed Sanskrit when he was a teenager, started composing. He was very much ruled by Shastra and what you find in there, and generally recorded in Sanskrit language, later Bengali, who composed so many works like the Prema Dhamma Deva Stotram, which is Chaitanya Charitamritam, condensed into 72 verses, compiled the Prapanna Jivanamritam, which was using the Sadvidhi Sharanagati, the six aspects of surrender as a template for collecting slokas from all over the scriptures about the importance of surrender, and as it's expressed by devotees, as expressed by Krishna, as expressed by Mahaprabhu, Krishna as a devotee. So many beautiful things are there. It means life-giving nectar for surrendered souls. Many devotees would read that daily to get some inspiration in their lives. Who composed all of these wonderful slokas in glorification of Saraswati Thakur? The Bhakti Vinod Viraha Dasakam, Babaji Maharaj's Dasakam or Dvadasakam, I forget, you know, the five slokas for the appearance day of Saraswati Thakur, the separation slokas for Saraswati Thakur, the Rupa Goswami sloka, so many. Praise of Gadadhar Pandit, Vyasadeva, all of this. The reason I'm saying this, Guru Maharaj said, "I know a little Sanskrit." Who was highly revered from, he said, in a modest way, "I know something Sanskrit." And he said, "But we are not interested in the language world." He said, "We are interested in the thought world." Krishna conception, Krishna consciousness. It's like Srila Prabhupada, just that phrase, Krishna consciousness, that was his creation. What an extraordinary contribution to make linguistically, the phrase, Krishna consciousness, which is, sometimes Guru Maharaj would talk about it, saying, how wonderful, because if we say Krishna Chaitanya, Chaitanya in Sanskrit also means consciousness. So Krishna Chaitanya, you can also translate as Krishna consciousness. As when Mahaprabhu, we're also approaching the time of Makara Sankranti, what is it called? Is it the solstice? The winter solstice? It's similar to that. It announces the what is it, Dakinayan Uttarayan, when the sun's going south and north, this kind of thing. I'm not an astrologer. But that's as much as we need to know. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. So this is a particular time in India called Makara Sankranti, when that southern course, I believe, starts to take place. But I could be wrong. It's one or the other. But that also marks the time of when Nimai Pandit went to take sannyas. So, why did I say that? Because...
Krishna
Chaitanya. Yes, thank you. It gives me some encouragement to know that you're paying attention since you're translating. Because if you turn to the translator and he goes, I don't know. I have no idea where this is going. Then you're like, you could be in trouble. You're on your own. So the reason I'm thinking that, we're going to talk about that more in the coming days, actually. It's coming up, like 2 or 3 days from now. And it is very important and extraordinary. But just alluding to that, when the time comes, we're not going to tell all of that now, that story in the details, but when it comes time for his name, Keshava Bharati says to him, you know, with the throng around, all the voices singing, and, you know, Nimai Pandit shorn of his beautiful hair, he said, your name cannot be anything other than Sri Krishna Chaitanya, because you're giving Krishna consciousness to everyone. So your name must be Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And that's when we hear the father of Srinivasacharya, he's starting to go, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. He went into mad ecstasy, just vibrating, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. And when he went back to his village, and everyone would say, what happened there in Katva? We heard that Nimai Pandit left Navadvip and he went and took sannyas. What happened? He would go, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. That's all he could say. And then he became known as Chaitanya Das. Because for the rest of his life, you go, Chaitanya. Yeah. So that's Sri Krishna. Chaitanya, rendered as Krishna consciousness. So Srila Guru Maharaj said to me, we're not interested in the language world. We're not linguists. That's not what it means if we study some particular language. We're not linguists. We're interested in... You know, he said, in the thought world. And by that he means concept. And by that he means spiritual substance, not abstract thinking. That's not what we mean when we talk about concept or ontology or siddhanta, some kind of philosophical abstract idea. But spiritual substance couched in particular language. Like Srila Guru Maharaj will say, the scriptures, they're passively, when they appear as a book, in a book form, he said that's a passive representation. They're actually spiritually conscious substance. They're alive. They're more alive than we are. That's the meaning of chinmoy, Vaikunter Prithivyadi Sakala Chanmoy. So they're alive, actually. But they're posing as books with pages and, oh, there's an old book there. Or now we have like EPUB or digital book, or still, it's we can't be deceived. It will be to be deceived to focus on the means of delivery. That's also the means of acharjamam vijaniyat navamanyeta karhachit. Rather than focusing on the substance, and this is one of Guru's consistent themes, form versus substance, substance over form, the focus on the method of delivery, right, or the apparatus, the mechanics of it. That's also Namakar Bahiroi Bhatu Namakabunoi, Jagadananda Pandit in Prema Vibharta, saying the holy name of Krishna is not literally the sound that you're vibrating with your tongue and lips. Rather, what here entered through from the Vaishnava, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnava, this sound, Pravrishta Karna Randrena Swanam Bhavam Saroruham, enters the heart. And when Krishna conception spreads its influence on the heart, then the heart influences the tongue. That's what he's saying, Krishna Nam is dancing on the tongue. It's from the heart outward, not making some sound going inward to the plane of heart. It's from the plane of heart outward. The heart is expressing. That's when it is substantial. And he further on that topic, Guru Maharaj was saying that about Saraswati Thakur being in South India, and he was giving a talk. And as we hear, sometimes Saraswati Thakur speaking English, sometimes some Sanskrit, sometimes some Bengali, maybe some Hindi, many things. And some man in the audience, and he was like, Swamiji, if you will just speak, and he named one particular language, if you will just speak that, then everyone will understand. But you're speaking all these different languages, we're somewhat confused. And Guru Maharaj said, Saraswati Thakur said, you don't understand. I'm not speaking English, I'm not speaking Sanskrit, but I'm not speaking languages. He said, I'm trying to represent the spiritual substance of the upper world to you. And whichever one of those languages can be employed in the service of that spiritual conception and deliver that concept, I'm using it to that effect. And so Srila Guru Maharaj himself, although, again, Sanskrit, Master, Bangla, etc., he said also he was meant to preach in the English language. So all these original concepts came. Reality, the beautiful, subjective evolution of consciousness. And I'm thinking also, on this day, you know, how to segue to the appearance of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And there's a little connection here. Because when we say the books are personalities, the Vedas are personalities, the Upanishads are personalities, told in the 87th chapter of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, prayers of the personified Vedas, Veda Stuti, they're the Upanishads personified, they're offering praise of Krishna. But according to their adhikar or capacity, they express Krishna conception. Sometimes it's a little more, we have Brahma, Parma, Bhagavan. It's a little more on the Brahman side, seemingly impersonal, ultimately not. Sometimes more toward Paramatma, hinting at Bhagavan. But there are some who are directly dealing with Krishna conception. So it's mentioned there that while some of the, you could say, lesser Upanishads are speaking, that some of the senior ones and more developed conceptually and personifying that, they're getting anxious. They want to say something because they don't think that the other ones are fully delivering Krishna conception. It's very sweet, actually. I'm presenting it. My presentation is a little crude, but what's there is very sweet, and this is based upon the insight of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. So, when we, the reason I'm saying this reminds me of Gopal Bhatta Goswami is in this way, and now I'll give a little background, that we hear Bande Rupa Sanatano Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalako, also written by Srinivasacharya, who we just mentioned. So we hear there's Rupa, Sanatan, Raghu, two, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das. There were actually a few more Raghunaths. So when Raghunath Das Goswami came to Mahaprabhu, he was called Swarupar Raghu. Swarups Raghu. Swarups Raghunath Das. But so Raghunath Bhatta and Jiva Goswami, the great scholar, arguably the greatest scholar of all time. But then Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami is a little unique in that he is from a South Indian Brahmin family, Sri Vaishnavas. That means in the Ramanuja line. The others, for various reasons, they're disqualified in Vedic society, which is very interesting, actually. Without going into all the details, like Raghunath's considered a Kayasta, Rupa, they're not... They didn't hold the esteem that Brahmins did in the society. And this is something interesting. When Mahaprabhu meets someone like Ballabha Bhatta, who's, again, a high-class Brahmin, Mahaprabhu will tell him indirectly, like, all the people I've heard from, like, I can't even properly talk about Krishna, but, like, the people I've heard from, like, Ramananda, I learned everything I know from him. He's a Shudra. Kiva Vipra... Kibranashi Shudra Kenenoi Ye Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hoy. Technically, Ramananda, he's going, so I learned all this Raga Marga from Ramananda. And who else? I learned, like, oh, well, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's a great philosopher. And, you know, but Advaita Charja, who's he? Well, he's like God. Sakshat Ishwar. He's God himself, as far as he's concerned. Nityananda, oh, he's, what do you say? Krishna Premera Sagar. He's an ocean of Krishna Prem. He starts naming all these different persons. And Swarup Damodar, what I learned from him. And then after he mentions all these principal followers, then he gives a whole list of all these other devotees. And Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda, they're saying in the purport, this was his, like, soft way of kind of telling him, this is how you get Krishna consciousness, is through devotees. He just named like 40 devotees who he feels are responsible for enlightening him in Krishna consciousness. But at any rate, still, so we can think that's the substance of the matter, but still we have to consider how to present things to society, whatever society you're in. And we have to think about that too. That's part of this project here. Is in the modern world, the world we understand and come from, how to bridge the ontological, Siddhantic world of Krishna consciousness and make a bridge into the modern digital world and retain its conceptual authenticity and substance. So this is kind of always there in different ways. So this is interesting. We hear Gopal Bhatta being Venkata Bhatta is his father, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is his uncle, and Triamala, I mean, think about it. Mahaprabhu visited there when he was a boy. When Mahaprabhu was at that 4-month Chaturmasya, that's when Gopal Bhatta was a boy, and he's like bringing prasadam, cleaning the, you know, doing like trivial, menial service for Mahaprabhu. But you can imagine how beautiful Gopal Bhatta was and pure, and Mahaprabhu stayed there for 4 months. So Anyway, that Gopal Bhatta, because of his high Brahminical lineage and, status, social status, Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they're working on the Hari Bhakti Vilas on Mahaprabhu's order, which will be a book about what we call Vaishnava Sadachar, what's the proper behavior for Vaishnavas, and everything is in there. Right? How to observe holy days, but like everything that you need to know and do in Krishna consciousness with proper Shastric reference to show that it's authentic and legitimate. But from what I understand, hearing from Guru Maharaj and about it, Gopal Bhatta is like madly extracting things from the scriptures, but not organizing those things. Just like he's the person with like thousands of quotes, like everywhere, you know, all like, here's more. He's like extracting, like, you know, and it's like there's stacks all over. And Sanatana Goswami and Jiva Goswami, they're like, these will structure in this way. All right, put that in this pile. These go over here. This is on behavior. This is, you know, they like structure the whole thing and present it. But even though it's Sanatana Goswami and Jiva Goswami, as bizarre as this sounds, in that world, I mean, this is India, they won't accept it. Why? Because of this varnashram, the broken remnants of varnashram, where they're thinking, they're not high-class Brahmins, what is their business dealing with these things? So what Guru Maharaj said they did was, they present Hari Bhakti Vilas in the name of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, because he has these pukka, unquestionable credentials, being a South Indian Brahmin from the Sri Sampradaya. That's totally acceptable to them. So it tells us two things. It tells us something about his background. It tells us also that we may sometimes factor in our consideration, how we deliver things to people. Like one of Srila Prabhupada's things was about the Bhaktivedanta Institute and scientists. And I remember once we were in Atlanta, Georgia, the temple there. They have beautiful Gaur-Nitai deities, and Swarup Damodar Maharaj was there, famous, you know, scientist of Bhaktivedanta Institute. And Prabhupada was saying how he wanted them to our Bhakti Madhava Puri Maharaj, who was Madhava Prabhu at the time, and he was telling them how he wanted them to approach, and with the scientists, and he said, "You should put Krishna consciousness in bombastic language." And that was the perfect word. He said, "Bombastic language." Which shows you what he thought about science. Like, it's just, it's a lot of bombastic language, and now I'm offending that group. But anyway, that it was showing that he thought, you put it in their language, Guru Maharaj's version of that is the subjective evolution of consciousness. So there is some consideration about that. Avadhut Maharaj was talking about that the other night. He mentioned the Krishna Sangita. Bhaktivinoda Thakur realizing, all right, I'm addressing modern people here. Most modern people have this as a basis or a foundation of how they approach things. So I'll concede that to them and not make issues over trivial things and then deliver this substance to them. So there's some precedent for that. But interestingly, as I said, Mahaprabhu, when he traveled to South India, that's where he met this extraordinary family. And even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the later cantos, there's a line about, actually, maybe even in the 12th canto, it calls it about Dakina Desh, that's the name for South India. And saying, as degraded as the Kali Yuga will become, religion will still be strong in the southern part of the country. So we hear, I haven't really been there. Janardhan Maharaj has been there, Avadhut Maharaj, maybe some of you other devotees have. But so Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he went to the southern part of the country and visited these famous holy places, particularly Ranga Kshetra and Sri Rangam. And that's where Venkatabhata, the father of Gopalabhata, observed these divine symptoms and qualities and characteristics of Mahaprabhu, and invited him to stay with for the rainy season at his place. Because generally, during that time, which is around 4 months, because of the heavy rains, one couldn't travel, so sannyasis would stay at some holy place. So it was perfectly in order. And as we're told, Gopalabhata is there as a boy serving. And Mahaprabhu, with great love and affection, every day he and Venkatabhata, they're having Harikatha, Krishna Katha. And imagine, 4 months. And then one day, we hear that Mahaprabhu says in a little teasing way, a little bit of a joking, mildly joking, he says, you know, because remember, Sri Vaishnava means they worship Vishnu, forearm Vishnu Narayan. So Mahaprabhu says, one thing I find interesting, curious, is that Lakshmi Devi, who's like either at the lotus feet of her Lord or always on the chest of her Lord eternally, she's the ultimate chaste lady. Right? He says what? Pati Dharma, I forget the exact word, but like she's always first to be mentioned. So that she is eager to have rasa with Krishna. That's a little curious, peculiar. And Venkatabhata thinks, and he quotes this famous sloka, is it Siddhantas Tobedepi Shrisha Krishna Srupayo? Say, well, since philosophically speaking, Krishna and Vishnu are identical, so but they manifest different tendencies, qualities, or characteristics, or a particular emphasis. So Krishna is known as Rasaraj. That's his specialty, is rasa, this type of divine loving exchange. So if Lakshmi Devi wants to approach Krishna for that, inasmuch as he and Narayan are identical, she's not being unchaste in any way. What's the harm? And so Mahaprabhu says, oh, all right, that what you're saying, you're quoting scripture, that makes sense. I can understand that. Saying, but what I find a little puzzling is that she's not given entrance into the Rasa Leela with Krishna, Radharani, Brajagopis. So what you say is true, but then why is she not given entrance there? And then Venkatabhata starts becoming a little puzzled. And then Mahaprabhu said, and he's saying, this is not a joking matter. And Mahaprabhu, yes, I know. And he said, and not only that, not only is she not given entrance into the Rasa Leela of Radha Krishna Raja Gopis, but the Veda Stutis, the personified Vedas we were talking about before, they are given entrance. The Dandakaranya Rishis, who were charmed by the beauty of Ramachandra and Ram Leela, and they gave vent to erotic sentiments. They were told by Ramachandra, conjugal seva is restricted to Sita Devi, but when I appear as Krishna in Vrindavan, those divine desires you have can be fulfilled at that time. So they're given entrance, but Lakshmi Devi is not. Then he quotes the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Kali Leela, after Kali has been chastised sufficiently and all the poison's been danced out of him. And he's sitting there somewhat like staggering and what's the word for when your consciousness is out of balance? Well, you get the idea.
Inebriated.
Yeah. Right. But like if you're stunned, like in a fight or something where they're, well, knocked unconscious when you're coming back. So the wives of Kaliya start offering prayers to Krishna because they're thinking minutes before he was a despicable person, now he's got the imprint of the lotus feet of Krishna all over him. And they think, how is this possible? And they say these words, Kasyanu bhavoshya to deva vidmahe, tashangi renu sparshadikara, yadvanchana sri lalana charatapo, vihaya kaman suchiram vidambrata. Saint Lakshmi Devi, she performed austerities in the Tapovan, in the forest, for many lifetimes to try and get this position, and she couldn't achieve it. And here's our husband, who is such a despicable personality moments ago, and now he's got the marks of Krishna's lotus feet everywhere, all over him. So how did he get that position? So Mahaprabhu showing this type of logic, Venkatabhatta realized we've left human comprehension. Just as I was telling Avadhuta Maharaj earlier, and I'd walk around the tank in Dum Dum Park in the afternoons, I'd meet this one man. He's always hearing the kirtan and everything and would come and visit, sometimes inviting me to his house, and it's like declining to go. But finally, I see one day, I meet him and he's going, I'm not going to the temple anymore. I go, oh really, why is that? And he said, I heard your arati. And I'm thinking like, what do you mean? And he's talking about the Sarasat arati where it says, Shambhu Agochar. Where it says, this is, even Shiva cannot grasp this. It's so high. Even Shiva, it's beyond what he can conceive. He
said, I cannot accept that.
And I thought, oh, now we're seeing something here. So he found that unacceptable. But that's the point. And also he doesn't understand, Guru Maharaj could explain to him, Shiva occupying three positions, Bhog Shiv, Tyag Shiv, and Bhakta Shiv, Sadashiv. So he's saying, Shiva, when taken as the representative of Jnana Misra Bhakti, Brahma Karma Misra Bhakti, Shiva Jnana Misra Bhakti, it's beyond what can be conceived. But for Sadashiv, Bhakta Shiv, that's another thing. So here, but Venkata, he's smart enough, sincere enough, and also, he knows that he's having a conversation with the Supreme Reality. He also knows that. I mean, it's hard to comprehend. He's staying at his house, but he also knows who Mahaprabhu is. But to what extent does he know who Mahaprabhu is becoming clearer by the moment. So he says, you know, for what you're speaking about now and what you're alluding to, it's beyond human comprehension. So he says, Achintya kalo ye babas, natangs tarkena yojayet. Things that are achintya, inconceivable, achintya, adhoksaja, beyond the grasp of the mind, the senses, mind, intellect, they're not... You can't argue about it. It's not something that is arguable. So then he realizes Mahaprabhu is really upgrading him to Krishna conception. And Mahaprabhu explains, he said, and Interestingly, so Lakshmi Devi, who's Vishnu's consort, she is attracted to Krishna. But the Braja Gopi, if we're going to the Siddhantatas, Tvabedepi, Shrisha, Shirsha, Swarupayo, if we're going to follow this, what you said, they're the same, then answer this. Why is it that Lakshmi Devi is attracted to Krishna, but when Krishna played a trick on the Braja Gopis by manifesting four arms and appearing as Narayan Vishnu, they weren't interested. It says, Ragodaya Kunchiti. Right? Their rag was crippled, it was constrained, they were disappointed. Because we hear when Krishna once, he sometimes separates himself from them to increase their loving affection and intensity through separation. They say separation makes the heart grow fonder. They spied the goat. They said, oh, there's Krishna over by that kunja. And they start running. And Krishna's thinking, what can I do? So he manifests two other arms to show four. And when they get there, they say, oh, they're thinking like, it looked like Krishna from far away, and now we see it's actually Vishnu. And they're like, Namo Narayan, how are you? I'm fine. Come on, Acha. Oh, you don't understand that. I just, oh, you speak, you know. So they're like, and have you seen Krishna? Kahan Krishna Prananath Murali Vadan, Kahan Karun Kahan Pan Brajendranandan. Where is Krishna? They're searching for Krishna. They're asking Vishnu, who is inconceivably beautiful and charming. What does Rupa Goswami say? You know, Jiva's 50 qualities, officer class, Jiva's 55, Shiva, you know, Vishnu, 60, Ramachandra Baladev, 62, Krishna, 64. 60 is also Bhagavan. Like, how to understand this? Use the Vaidurya money, but it's a jewel we don't really know about. But I'll tell you like this, more like another way to, we know the prism. Though, you know prisms? Light goes through a prism, comes out like the colors of the rainbow. So that's when we say Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Right? He's reciprocating all rasas. If you put it in a prism, in a sense, you'll see it can separate out into Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura, and different, and everything in between. Right? But really, he's the source of all of them. So, Akhila Rasamrita Murti. So in this instance, though, with the Braja Gopis, by showing, appearing to be Vishnu, these four qualities, it's not just that Krishna has four more than Vishnu. He has innumerable qualities. But they are talking about 64 that are prominent, but four that are exclusive to him. And was that Sarva Dutta Samatkara Lila Kalola Bharati Atulya Madhura Prema Priya Mandita Priya Mandala Tri Jagan Manasa Karshi Murali Kalakujita Asamanodva Rupa Sri Bhishmapita Charachara. They're saying this extraordinary sweet sound of Krishna's flute. That's only Krishna, right? Even Radharani and Brajagopis, when they meet, what to speak of Vishnu, when they meet Dwaraka Krishna at Kurukshetra, and they're looking like, where is your flute? You're dressed like a king. We like Gopabesh, Venukar, Navakishore, Natabar, Naralilahoy, Anurup. We like to see you as the cowherd boy on the banks of the Jamuna playing your flute, your sweet flute under the moonlight, and now you're dressed like a king, no flute, surrounded by all these ministers and people. Instead of a Vrindaranya, we're in a Lok Aranya, a forest of people. So, at the same time, when Krishna tried to do the same trick to Radharani, he was unsuccessful. So he tried four arms. And Radharani looks at Krishna. And her name is Krishnamoyi. It means wherever she casts her glance, only Krishna can be seen. So she casts her glance and Krishna loses those two arms. He can't play that joke. He can only be Krishna before her. Swayam Bhagavan. Ete cha angsa kalapungsa Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Swayam Bhagavan is only at the right hand of Radharani. So, and there's Archan Padati, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He's written one very beautiful sloka. And there it says, Govinda Balabhe Radhe Pratayam Tamahamsada. Saying, if you want to have connection with me, then you have to go, it's not my department. You have to go to Radharani. She can give you a connection with me. What's the other one? Vrindavanadishe Karanamrita Vahini. She's a Karuna Amrita Vahini, an endless stream, current of mercy connecting devotees to the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. So, that Gopal Bhatta, he wrote those slokas. We know also his deity is Radha Raman, that as a Brahmin, South Indian Brahmin, shalagram worshipping Vaishnava, he had 12 shalagrams. And the way they tell it, Radha Raman temple, is on the time of Nisringa Chaturdashi, thinking of Nisringadev's appearance, he thought, oh, from the love of Prahlad, he appeared from stone. I'm not so fortunate. And he went to sleep that night and had a dream. Gopal! Gopal Bhatta! And he awakened, he got some inspiration to check his shalagrams. And among the 12 shalagrams, like he has, you know, Keshava, Narayan, Keshava, all in the Damodar, this one shalagram had, now there were 11, and there was Radha Raman. We know is this extraordinarily beautiful deity. And then he established his worship there in Vrindavan. And some Grihastha disciples took up that worship. They're doing it to this day. So, and today's the Tirubhav of Ramachandra Kaviraj. And as I was saying, Thavadut Maharaj before, we don't know so much about him, but if all we know is that in the prayer of the Viraha, prayer of Narottam Das Thakur, Yayani Lo Premina, he says, Naro, and in his other song, Narottama Sango Mage, Narottama Das, Ramachandra Sango Mage, Narottama Das, that he's, Narottam Thakur is crying out and hankering for his association. That alone tells us how exalted he is. So, it's his disappearance, Gopal Bhatta's appearance day, and so we're fortunate to even vibrate their names. Hare Krishna.